fresh cup of coffee or got a donut. I brought my coffee with me. After all the rain, it feels good to have something warm in your hands this morning, doesn't it? I noticed all our songs this morning were about water. I'm not sure that's a good thing, right? Hey, we were going to do a video or a testimony. Which one are we doing, video or testimony?
Testimony.
Mr. Jason is going to come up and tell you about a vital ministry in the life of our church called Celebrate Recovery. You want to come up here or you down low? Coming on up. All right.
How you guys doing this morning? You awake? Yeah? All right. I'm a follower and believer in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I struggle from anger, lust, and my name is Jason. Had to think about that for a second, right? Jason? Uh-huh. And I have known God and Jesus since I was a child, but I didn't always follow God's word. In 2017, after many issues and struggles, with a gentle nudge from my wife, I started attending Celebrate Recovery. In 2018, this church started its ministry in Celebrate Recovery, and my wife and I moved to here to start our Celebrate Recovery worship here. In April of 2018, the Celebrate Recovery ministry started a step study, and I was scared. Scared of what I would learn about myself, scared about what others in the group would think about me, and I couldn't have been more wrong. The group of men in this step study didn't judge me or look down on me for what was in my past. I was able to let go and talk about my issues and my past without fear and became close friends with this group of gentlemen. No temptations has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it, 1 Corinthians 10:13. This step study was my way to endure it, to speak to other men about my issues and allow God to heal me from these issues because I cannot do it alone. Jennifer and I will be starting the next Celebrate Recovery step study on March 24th at 5 p.m. in the Agape House across the street. Through Celebrate Recovery and step study, God can heal you from your hurts, habits, and hangups. We would love to see you there. Thanks for letting me share.
Celebrate Recovery Step Study is one of the ways that you hear me say we're here to help people believe, belong, and become. And believe is where we gather in our worship services and express our belief in God. Belong is where we do what Jason was talking about. We get together in a group and we share ourselves. We grow closer together and closer to God in doing that together. And so I invite you to be a part of that. Worship through Celebrate Recovery is on Sunday or Monday nights, and the step studies begin March 24th on Sunday evenings at 5. Well, hi, my name is Chris, and I get to be the associate pastor at Hartsville First United Methodist Church. Welcome. Anybody glad to not be in the midst of a rain and flood? I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. It's standing ovation, right? We need a rainbow or we need an ark. We got to do something because it's driving me crazy. Y'all got all this pent-up energy. We want to be on the baseball fields, the soccer fields. But we're in church today. And if you haven't, make plans to stay. We're going to have pizza and play if you can stay afterwards. And I think the cost will be under $5. And if you don't have the money, it's on me. We'll figure it out. But have some time of fellowship today after worship. We begin today a new series entitled The Road to Jerusalem. The Road to Jerusalem, we'll look at the journey Jesus took from up north in Israel down to where he ultimately did what we know of as Easter weekend, where Jesus lived and died on a cross and rose from that on the third day. And so we're going to look at this journey and what Jesus encountered on his ultimate fulfillment of God's purpose for him. You hear some people call this the journey of Lent, or kind of where we're navigating through what it is that God wants for us. And so we're going to look at these stories along the way of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Today we'll begin with the road to Jerusalem had some roadblocks on it. Hey, this Wednesday, we had the privilege, I counted a privilege, of hosting the concert for Big Daddy Weave here at Hartsville High School. A huge thanks to the band for stopping in Hartsville, Alabama. A huge thanks for the production company. Shout outs to y'all that volunteered, a special Megan Burton, if you're watching or watching this. She was the organizer for the volunteers. And the production team says it's one of the smoothest stops on the tour, both working with all our volunteers and with the high school. So shout out to the Mr. Cooper and the Mr. Smith at the high school and Miss Melinda, who helped so much in pulling that together. But that the Big Daddy Weave Band, I feel like if you've ever been a part of a big production, and that was a pretty big production, sometimes it feels like it's just the show. Like, and we called it a concert, but if you were there and you were around what was going on, you know it was more than just a show. I heard some people that were there and left said that was a complete immersive worship experience, that it was more than just hearing the songs like you would on your iPod. You were surrounded by people. And the band, I feel like, I don't know them perfectly, but they have a heart that's this big, and they can sing. I got a heart this big, and y'all, well, I won't sing. But that's a good combination because, like, they usually, like, will charge parking whenever they go to a place like this. And they said, hey, y'all can use that, accept donations, to the benefit of two of our students, Cooper Rooks and Lily Graham. They both, Lily goes to our church. Cooper is a student at Hartsville Junior High School and close friends with all of us in the community now. But they gave the parking donations to those families. And on that night, we got to celebrate what God is doing in their lives. In treatment for over 6 months now, we know that Cooper is in remission. And he can come home, and he got to open the concert in prayer. How amazing is God? Now, Lily is also in remission, and Lily, if you guys are watching online, I say hi. She's still got a couple of months before she can come home and commute back for treatment, but we praise God for what he's doing through that. And so I thank all of you that were part of that night about bringing something like that to our community and a night of worship. But I have to admit, there was one stressful part. If you were there, you might have had other stressful parts, but there was one stressful part, at least to me, because anybody go to Hartsville High School or ever been on campus? Some of y'all are students there. You got kids that go. So literally, I think there's twice as many students as there are parking places, right? I mean, that's, I didn't know this until we started setting it up, but there's like a ton of cars on campus there. And we were like, yeah, we can host the concert because the auditorium would be open during the day. Well, the auditorium was open, but the parking lot wasn't, right? And so 9 o'clock, a bus pulls up with the band. We had a good idea. We were going to park, but there were cars there, right? There were cars in the place. We were gonna park. And then behind that came bus two. Behind that came semi-truck and bus three and bus four. And it got hectic, y'all. There's like, there's not room for a Honda, let alone a Greyhound, you know? And so we had the idea and had great people working. Chris Orr works with the city. We're going to block this off. We're like, we'll block off this road and keep people from coming and going and let the buses just kind of park, fill up the road. And whenever the kids get out at three, we'll let them out. So we had a big announcement for the assistant principal. Said, hey, kids, when you go to leave, watch out for the buses and exit this way and you'll be fine. So we're going to block off the road. But then the high school band was having a fundraiser for strawberry pickup at 3 to 6 o'clock that night. So at 3 o'clock, I don't know if y'all felt it. I was praying for Jesus to come. We were like kids getting off, parents coming to pick up strawberries, and we were trying to block the road because y'all, these concert people, and y'all are some of them, so don't laugh too hard. They were showing up at 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock show. The roadblock wasn't very well received that day. We had a good plan. We're going to block all the road, but it wasn't very well seen. Now, we worked it out, and praise God for the good hearts of the band director, the principal. All worked together, and it worked out. But it was a little bit stressful for a minute because of the roadblock into what was normally expected. You think you just show up, and the road's going to be open. It reminded me that school, life, we all face these kind of roadblocks in our lives. If you've been in school, high school, college, junior high, you feel these roadblocks come when the teacher doesn't give you the grade that you thought you deserved or really you needed to pass. And sometimes you have these roadblocks of, they're called summer school. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but that's a roadblock, right? And you either had to go around it or bulldoze through it or change your college or your career plan based on, hey, I got to take a different class or I got to pick something else. And as adults, we face those. They start maybe on the end of our high school at prom if we're going to get a date so we get married, right? That's a roadblock if we don't get our hopes and dreams fulfilled to somebody. And so those relationship roadblocks, we thought it was going to be, and it turned out that it was something else. Roadblocks have a big impact in our lives, but do they have to be the end of our road of faith? Do they have to be something that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do in our lives? So we're going to look at this story of Jesus' journey, where we'll begin in Luke chapter 9. If you've got your Bible or Bible app, start turning to that. But right when Jesus starts taking the step towards his journey, boom, a roadblock. So we're going to look at what he navigated and maybe something we can take from that in our lives about how to navigate these daggum roadblocks more than just the traffic. All right. Luke chapter 9, the words should be on the screen beside me. We'll begin reading in verse 51. As the time drew near for him, that's Jesus, to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" But Jesus said, he turned to them and rebuked and said, "You don't realize what your hearts are like, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy people's lives, but to save them." So they went on to another village. I'll make a note, I'll talk about that. Some of your Bible translations may have more or less words than there, so I'll talk about that in just a minute. Verse 57, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man," and Jesus was talking about himself, "has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come follow me." And that man agreed, but said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead, your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." And another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." In verse 62, but Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus is definitely on a journey to fulfill the purpose that God has given him, that God's Spirit has led him to do. Ultimately, we know he goes on to Jerusalem and fulfills what we call our Easter weekend. He physically journeyed there, but he faced emotional and spiritual battles along the way. He ultimately faced the battle of being arrested and put on trial, ultimately being crucified on a cross, and ultimately being resurrected by the power of God's Spirit. But to start the journey, he faces a roadblock. Some of you guys are map challenged, so I thought I'd draw the map. Look over here. This is the journey on the far right image, supposedly Jesus took from the north down to Jerusalem. And you see, he's going along and he makes this big cut out, this big turn, like goes around this area. And Y'all, I looked up Google Maps, like pretend I'm in Israel and I'm going to drive the same journey. It makes you pick going one or the other side of that same region today. Now, this the shorter one evidently was to the left, but you could go to the same route on the right. And you think, well, what is that? Go to the next slide. There's a roadblock between there, between where he is and where he wanted to go. And the roadblock was dissent between people. The Jews and the Samaritans disagreed, and it started hundreds of years before that. And that disagreement continues today. That roadblock, that physical roadblock, is still there. That's, you guys may know, the West Bank and the hostility in Israel around that. That's the West Bank of the Jordan River. And so that area is still a roadblock to pass from the north into the south. If you even try to go from that top point just to where that little stop sign is, you've got to come all the way halfway down, immigrate or whatever into the country, and then go back up, even if you're just going a few miles across. It takes a lot to get in and through that. And so Jesus had a physical roadblock, but there were other roadblocks that Jesus faced, spiritual roadblocks from those that would journey along with him for the journey, the roadblock of an uncertain future, not knowing where he or his followers would lay their head, the roadblock of giving up of customs and their existence. You heard the guy say, hey, I don't want to follow you because I got to go and prepare and bury my father. And that was a metaphor or an illustration of the tie to the Jewish tradition of fulfilling the law, which you guys may know, honor your father and your mother. And he was saying, this is what I got to do. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God, following Jesus, is more than just the detail of the law. And ultimately, we see that Jesus says, hey, I want you to follow me and not be distracted. And a guy says something like, I'm going to go back and say bye. And Jesus says, hey, you can't put your hand to the plow and keep looking back. We got to go ahead. And Jesus says, we're going to face some roadblocks, physical. We're going to face some roadblocks spiritually in our own hearts and what other puts around us that keep us from what God wants us to do in and through our lives. And so we're going to look at a few ways from this passage that we can learn to get through those or navigate roadblocks. Number one, navigate roadblocks by sharing love. Luke 9:56, the first part says that the Son of Man has not come to destroy people's lives, but to save them. The biggest supporters of Jesus, James and John, says, we're going to call down fire and destroy them. And Jesus says, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to blow up people. I'm here to save people. And I mentioned that verse 55 and 56. There's some extra words there. Just a point of biblical criticism there or study. There were various transcripts of the Bible. We have dozens and dozens of those from the earliest transcripts. And these sentences were included in some and not in others. And so some of your Bible translations may include them. Some of them say there's a note that says they weren't in some, they were in some. And I include them confidently because they echo many other places where Jesus said, hey, I'm here not to destroy, but to save. You may remember John 3:16, for God loved the world so much he gave his only son. That verse is followed by John 3:17, where Jesus said, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And so Jesus is here, the church is here to save people, not to destroy them. And so in your life, when you face a roadblock of somebody else, anybody facing a roadblock with somebody, right? They're in front of you. They may be the person in line in the 42 items in the 10 item checkout. Right? Jesus love you, but I'm not sure. Right? I heard somebody say, what if we treated everyone? What if we treated everyone like they were in the midst of their own struggle? Like, what if we treated everyone like they needed Jesus as much or maybe even more than we needed Jesus to knock down our roadblock? Maybe we would see people instead of someone we need to blow up or condemn fire on, as somebody Jesus is here to save. Maybe we would see folks that God created all of us in his image and all of us to be saved by Jesus. So we navigate first by sharing love. Number two, navigate roadblocks by speaking truth. Luke 9:60 says, but Jesus told them, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying you have to know spiritual truth to be able to navigate the roadblocks, or else you'll think, hey, this is God trying to keep me from doing something, or this is, I don't know what it is. And so when we know the spiritual truth, when we know Jesus and we know what God is inviting us to do in our lives, we can say, hey, that's a roadblock I need to navigate around. And for us who are following Jesus, we know that truth starts with the perfect life of Jesus, the guiltless death of Jesus, and the power of Jesus and resurrection. And from that truth, we live. And we face this tension in our lives where do we love people or do we give them the truth that they need Jesus? Do we love people or do we come with truth? And Jesus taught, Jesus lived, that we both give love and we give truth. It's not a love or truth kind of decision. It's a love and truth. And we saw this in the story of Jesus. I think it was in John chapter 8, where Jesus is meeting a person caught in adultery, the kind of law enforcers catch her, and they bring her to him. They said, we found her out. And at that time, the penalty for adultery was death by stoning. And they said, what do you say? And Jesus said, he who is without sin can cast the first stone. And they all just were like, oh. So Jesus gave her love. But the passage concludes where Jesus says, then neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. So Jesus gave love and Jesus gave truth. And so we navigate roadblocks in life and the people and our circumstances with both love and truth. And finally, we navigate roadblocks, those little potholes or those big ones that keep us from getting where we need to go, by staying focused. Number three, navigate roadblocks by staying focused. Luke 9:62 says, but Jesus told them, anyone who puts hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Talking to the farmers that they would know what that meant, putting a hand to a plow is you plowed something by navigating with your hands on the plow. And said, if you're going to do that, know what you got, the road that you're plowing ahead and you're looking back, you're going to get off course. It's going to be a crooked road that you plow. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to be focused on following me. And those distractions, those things that are behind us, they're going to keep you from plowing the straight road that I want you to do. Now, there's a good kind of remembering or looking behind us, the good things God has done. And in the Bible, we see the examples of followers of Jesus, and even in the Old Testament, where they proclaim the good things God has done. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. They said, if God can do it then, he can do it again. And so it gave them confidence to keep going. But there's a bad kind of looking back, where we look back by the temptation of the devil to look back for the things that in our past that aren't that good. The devil is like, hey, but what about this thing over here? Are you sure God has forgiven that? And he tries to get our eyes to look back instead of looking where we're going, or even a relationship where we've offered forgiveness and we've reconciled. The devil tries to throw it in. Are you sure they accepting you now? And so in that context, the devil tempts us and ruins us by making us look back instead of looking forward to what God is calling us into. And so I'm praying that God is working in each one of your lives as we approach this Easter season to help us to navigate the roadblocks with the love of Christ, the truth of God's salvation and forgiveness through repentance of sin. But that as we get on that journey, we stay focused on what God has drawn us to ahead. Let me pray for us. God, I pray that you would guide us, that you would direct us as we enter a time of worship through communion, that you meet us here. You heal our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. You bring us into relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to continue worship through communion. This was a tradition that Jesus started on the night where he sat with his disciples. And he took the bread and he gave it and said, "This represents my body that is given for you." And he took the cup and he said, "This represents the blood that will be shed for forgiveness of sin." Mm-hmm.